Hey, before you dive into this fabulous Red Cow podcast, Frankie Frayne here, reminding you to check out the other shows at redcowentertainment.com. We, of course, have our flagship show, Howowie, which started this whole thing off, in which me and my friends crack each other up with all manner of scatological and observational humor. If you're having a bad day and just want to laugh, that's the show for you. There's currently 60 episodes and counting, so why not just start from the top and work your way forward? But, you know, maybe you're a little more topic-oriented. You might want to check out Rage Quit, in which a lot of the guys you know from Howowie get together and talk video games. We talk old classic games. We talk brand spanking new games. It gets geeky as shit on the show, but with a great deal of ball busting if you're into that kind of thing. I totally am. Maybe you're not into all the joking around and you're here for some filmmaking advice and filmmaking stories. Check out Discount Film School, where I interview over 40 filmmakers, animators, actors, film festival programmers, and film columnists. Guys like Lloyd Kaufman, Jason McHugh, Alexander Philippe, and so many more. And finally, don't miss our newest show, Lone Holdout. As the name suggests, our two hosts, Emily Brinkmeyer and Tycho Alhambra, try new things they've been totally holding out on, whether it's TV shows or hobbies or activities or music, and they dedicate each episode to examining that topic. It's a ton of fun. So go like the Red Cow Entertainment Facebook page. We post everything we do over there. We have literally hundreds of hours of podcasts, video blogs, short films, feature films, and animations. Thank you so much for listening. I really do appreciate it. Let's get on with the show.
I'm Emily.
And I'm Tycho.
And we're friends, right?
Sure, I guess.
As much as two strangers on the internet can be friends. And like most friends, we try to influence each other's tastes.
And like most friends, sometimes that influence is for something good we legitimately love, and sometimes it's for something horrific and terrible.
And that's what you're about to hear. This is Lone Holdout.
Hey, Brinky!
Yes.
Why was Mrs. Cookie so sad?
Mrs. Cookie? Why?
Because she was feeling crummy.
That's not even about candy.
What do you call a cow that can't moo?
What?
A milk dud.
Uh-huh.
What did Mr. Applehead say when Mrs. Lemonhead asked if he liked chocolate?
Oh, more characters. Mr. Applehead and Mrs. Lemon. Okay.
Does a gummy bear poop in the woods? I don't know why I made Mr. Applehead Jewish. I just... Oh, wow. Okay, here's a knock-knock joke with a horrible, horrible idea in it.
Is it racist?
Knock-knock.
Who's there?
This is a jokes for kids website. Knock-knock.
Who's there?
Candy.
Candy who?
Candy doggy have some chocolate?
No.
Knock-knock.
Who's there?
Candace.
Candace who?
Can this get any better? All right, we're done now. Because no.
Yeah, because you took
it can't get any better.
Because you
that.
Took the theme of candy and turned it into Candace. So yeah, let's move on
hey,
from
look,
that.
Go talk to Carrie, okay?
Oh, Carrie that runs
Carrie's
this.
Carrie's Candy / Candy Jokes .html for all your candy joke needs. It doesn't actually say that. I added that in. Hmm. All right.
So
hi, everybody. I'm Tycho.
And I'm Emily. And this is Lone Holdout.
Hi.
Where we examine something that's been in the public zeitgeist and figure out if it's for us. And this time we played Candy Crush. And we're pretty late getting to this game because it was released in April of 2012. So coming up on 2 years, more than a year and a half.
Yeah.
And so this is a game made by a company called King, appropriately enough, because now they're the world's most popular gaming firm. They've overtaken Rovio, who makes Angry Birds, and the previous most popular game company, Zynga, that makes Farmville and Words with Friends. So this game is quite popular. As of October, people were playing 700 million games a day.
Permission to go on a slight rant?
Yes.
Words with Friends is Scrabble. If you release a home version of Words with Friends that you can play on a board in real life, you're playing Scrabble.
Oh, you're talking about the merchandising where they're trying to sell a version, like a physical version of this game?
Yeah.
And it's Scrabble?
Just buy freaking Scrabble.
I will buy Scrabble. Thank you. And
that you have no idea how enraged I was when I saw that.
I think we do. You're pretty enraged over a lot of things. Can I send you a Words with Friends request on Facebook?
No, you may not.
All right, then.
I do not have Words with Friends on any sort of thing at all.
Okay. And so this game can be played as an app on your phone or tablet. Which version did you play?
I played on my iPod.
Oh, okay. It's also can be played by PC on the King website or on Facebook. And so anybody who's heard of this has probably gotten a request from people on Facebook trying to get more lives or whatever.
Yeah, I have, for the past week, gotten about 10, so-and-so wants you to play Candy Crush Saga on Facebook, and I'm like, if I get one more of these from you, I'm going to delete you off of my friends list.
Oh yeah, technically the game is called Candy Crush Saga. For brevity, I'm going to call it Candy Crush, or there was a review on Amazon that I like. Most of the reviews are pretty basic, not very interesting, but this 5-star review had the title of Replace Candy with Balls. And that phrase, nothing about that is ever mentioned again in the review. So we could call it Candy Crush, which I think I'm going to, or if you want to, we can call it Ball Crush Saga. What do you think?
We'll stick to Candy Crush.
All right, then. So yeah, there were 19,000 Amazon reviews. More than 12,000 of them were 5-star. Now, if you want to accuse me of not doing my homework, I did not read all 19,000. But like I said, they weren't very interesting. And there are also more than 60 million likes on Facebook, three of whom are my friends. So I'm surprised only three. So I think we can conclude that this game is popular and people know about it, right?
Sure.
Right? Yeah. And so I do want to talk about the game and also what it means in our culture. But to guide our discussion, I found a quote from Shakespeare. Now, you've told me that you were in a production of Midsummer Night's Dream, right?
Yes.
And you played Bottom.
Yes,
I did. Okay. And I actually
To the surprise of absolutely nobody.
Well, I found a quote.
Tycho played the ass.
And I found a quote from him where it is, "Approach ye furies fell, O fates, come, come, cut thread and thrum, quail, crush, conclude, and quell." And so that's actually going to guide our discussion, quail, crush, conclude, and quell, because I've broken all of our topics down into those four things. So first, not in that order, because I want to talk crush first. I want to talk just the game itself, the way it looks, the way it feels when you play it. And what level did you get to?
Level 12?
12? Yeah, I finished 12. I got to 13, but didn't finish it. So we're about at the same place. So, clearly we're newbies at this, because it goes on for hundreds of levels. So, there are things we're not going to discuss, because we've never seen them. I think it gets into chocolates eventually. Chocolate Mountain. I didn't see that. Because the first eight levels were pretty easy, wouldn't you say?
They're, you know, pretty standard tutorial levels where, you know, it'll be like, you know, oh, do this, and do this, and then do this.
Yeah, do this. We are being guided by two cartoon characters, Tiff and Mr. Toffee.
I didn't know they had names.
I guess they do. They don't really talk either. It's text-based. And so this is a match three puzzle game, is its designation. You match three things together, they disappear, they get filled in by other things, continue. Not unlike Bejeweled, which was pretty popular not that long ago, or Snood, which I think was a thing about 10 years ago. So it's a formula that works. It's not
so this
hard.
So this is basically just a rehash of those two games, but with different graphics.
Yeah. It's not hard. Okay. I guess it's a pretty successful formula, right? Who would you say this game is for?
I'd argue for everybody. It's not a hard concept.
Right, so you can give it to a kid to figure out, right? And it seems like most of the people that are playing this are women aged 25 to 55. So I'm in that demographic. So I guess I'm the right person to talk about this. What did you think about playing it?
I thought it was easy to play. I thought it was easy to just pick up and go with. The tutorials were pretty standard and explained everything that you needed to know. So as far as that went, it was fine.
Now, neither one of us got to level 35. Apparently that's where the paywall kicks in. After level 35, you can't advance unless you bug the hell out of your Facebook friends or start making purchases.
Yeah, and I'm not going to do either of those.
No, I'm not either. Were you encouraged to make purchases. I know at one point I got enough points that it unlocked an offer, but unlocking an offer means paying 99 cents to use a candy hammer, which I wasn't planning on doing.
I don't know. There's probably something in there about, you know, buy some power-ups or something, but I was like, nah, don't care.
Yeah. And so what would you say is the appeal? Like, it's easy. It's pretty cute, right?
Yeah, I guess.
Okay. Not your thing, maybe? Not being a lady.
Like, I wasn't particularly enamored of the art style. What is the appeal? I don't know.
Well, I guess candy has some sort of hold in our psyche, because people may not be surprised to find that this is not the only candy-based game ever, because there's also Candyland. And then in the movie Wreck-It Ralph, there's a racing game called Sugar Rush. So
my brother-in-law, whom I love dearly, because I know my little sister is going to be listening to this, refuses to play Candyland.
Okay.
On the grounds that it is deterministic.
Explain.
Which basically means that once the cards are shuffled and put down, the outcome is, you can't change the outcome.
Mm-hmm.
The person who's going to win is going to win, you know, regardless of anything that anybody, regardless of anything that happens in the game.
Hmm. I just don't like Candyland because it's boring, but that's just me. I do have little girls, so I get to play it occasionally. Not my thing.
So I tend to rag my brother-in-law about that and just be like, you know, like I'll mention a game. He's like, I don't really like that game. I'm like, what? Is it deterministic too? Is it too deterministic for you?
Yeah, you want something with a little more skill than Candyland.
His argument is not, this is a kid's game, I don't want to play it. It's not, this is a baby's game, I don't want to play it. It's deterministic, I don't want to play it. Like War. He doesn't play War either, the card game War.
Is it deterministic?
It's deterministic.
I'd like to hear his thoughts on Chutes and Ladders sometime. So,
well, Chutes and Ladders has that random element, because you spin the spinner and you can get any number. You don't know.
Okay.
Plus, you don't know when you're going to hit a chute. You could hit a chute or that really big ladder that goes all the way up to the...
I think I'd like to hear his thoughts on a lot of things. He sounds interesting. So, talking about Crush goes pretty quick. There's not a lot to say about actually playing this game. You flip around candies, they disappear. You level up. Eventually, you have to start paying if you want to keep playing. So, there's that. But the biggest topic I've got to talk about is Quail. And that is the fear that this company inspires because of their perceived evil and their business strategies. So they've been in the news quite a bit because of wanting to trademark the word saga and the word candy.
Nope.
And a lot of the
nope.
a lot of the negative reviews I was reading on Amazon were related to that, to the anger at the company for trying to trademark basic words.
I think they could get away with trademarking the phrase Candy Crush Saga.
Yeah.
Like, that whole phrase would be fine. I wouldn't have a problem with that because that's the name of the game. But, like, the word candy and the word saga, that's just, like, fuck you guys, all right?
So, the CEO has tried to defend...
That's like the Super Bowl saying you can't say Super Bowl.
You can't say super and you can't say bowl, and you certainly can't say Super Bowl. No, so the CEO... Ricardo Zacconi insists that he's not trying to control the global use of the word candy. He just wants it to be like Apple. He wants to prevent specific uses to keep copycats from capitalizing on their success. And the way this has been implemented so far, they have gone after a game called Banner Saga, which is a Kickstarter-funded role-playing game. Described as mature, story-driven, turn-based strategy game steeped in Viking culture. Does that sound similar to Candy Crush? Was there
not
a lot of Vikings? There was not a lot of Viking culture in this one?
I mean, look, if they called it, like, you know, Sweet Smash Saga, then all right, you know what? Yeah, go ahead and nail them for that, because that's, you know...
Well, so there's another situation. They went after a game called... an app called Candy Casino Slots, Jules Craze Connection, Big Blast Mania Land. But the icon just says Candy Slots and kind of looks like it's related in the App Store. How about that?
That I am more willing to lean to. The problem that I have is that game that you just... Give me that title again.
Candy Casino Slots, Jules Craze Connect, Big Blast Mania Land. It rolls off the tongue.
There's at least four different topics in there that sound like other games.
Mm-hmm. Well, Jules, so it's like, we talked about Bejeweled.
If you're searching for Bejeweled, this game will come up. If you're searching for Candy Crush, this game will come up. If you're searching for, I don't know, Big Bang Theory or something, this game will come up. All right, it's like, what are you...
So this is the equivalent of like trying to make Google searches pop up your website by tagging it everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. By putting porn in the tag in the search parameters for your website. You know, you put porn boobs.
Porn boobs.
Porn boobs and just there. Your website comes up.
So maybe they deserve it, huh? So really They're only allowed to enforce the trademark as it relates to video games and clothing. So style, font, color,
size. I think they should only be allowed to enforce the trademark if there is the remotest possibility of getting confused with their game. So, like, if you look up Saga and frickin', what was that one you mentioned? Viking Saga or...
Oh, Banner Saga. Mm-hmm.
Banner Saga. Like, there's no way you can confuse that with Candy Crush Saga. What if you look up the Saga of Beowulf?
I don't think they're trying to shut down Beowulf. Or is this a game? Is the Saga of Beowulf a game?
You know what? I looked up the Saga of Beowulf, and now they're like, oh, you can't look that up because Candy Crush Saga. You can't shut...
Well,
you know what? Fuck you! Beowulf has been around for 2,000 years.
Yeah, but Beowulf is not a video game.
Longer than that.
Beowulf is not a video game. It might be, but the Beowulf you're talking about is not a video game. Now, they do have a new game that's out this month called Farm Heroes Saga. Does that sound like another farming-related game to you?
It does. Farmville should sue.
Uh-huh. Now, they're also facing copycat allegations. King, the company that makes Candy Crush. Because they have a game called Pack Avoid, which looks a lot like another game called Scamper Ghost. And the makers of Scamper Ghost had come to them with their product. They got a better offer elsewhere and took their game elsewhere. And then soon after comes out Pack Avoid. So, I don't know. So they're trying to... It's all business practices. They're trying to crush the little guy while also profiting. So the trademark thing is just a business move. And I think with the perceived evil of this company, their business moves are called into question quite a bit. First of all, the paywall that we mentioned, where you get to level 35... And right. You have to start paying to get it. And this is where they're making most of their money, is people getting to a point where they want to continue, don't want to get locked out. Because after you lose all your lives, you get locked out for a while to earn more. Did you experience this or no?
No.
Is that when you stop playing?
I don't.
You just got to level 12 and you're like,
I didn't get that far. I just was bored by it.
I did get there a couple of times. I was doing other things, so I could let my tablet sit for half an hour until I earned another life. Eventually, it did get a little tiresome. So I think if you're so into the game that you don't want to stop, you buy some more lives, I guess. Or you go harass your friends on Facebook. Now, I don't think they're going to have the same success merchandising as Angry Birds did. Because there's nothing... I mean, it's cute, but there's nothing personal about it the same way the Angry Birds have. So it seems like it would be harder to merchandise.
Oh, they could sell Candy Crush brand candies.
They do that. I saw some fruit snacks at the store the other day, too. And then a lot of clothing, a lot of t-shirts. But my guess is that most of the money is coming from people buying power-ups or level-ups or unlocking offers, buying lives.
Hold on, I'm looking up Candy Crush merch.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
You'll find a few things. Nothing... particularly exciting, but
one this of the, girl loves Candy Crush.
Is this a porn boobs ad?
It's a shirt that says, oh. Hold on, I have a sneeze that wants to come out, but it's not coming. Never mind. It's gone now.
It's a shirt that says, "Who's got two thumbs and loves Candy Crush?"
Yeah, it's got two thumbs. With a... Can I go ahead and talk about female shirts for a minute?
Okay.
I understand why you're going to have stuff written right across the boobs. I get it.
Well, also, because your boobs take up quite a bit of your torso. Where are you going to do it? Your stomach? Way high up in your chest? Like, to make an attractive shirt, that's kind of where it goes.
It's because that's where guys are going to look.
Well, yeah.
It's like, I get it. It kind of makes me uncomfortable. Because, like, sometimes there are times where I just want to read what the shirt says.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't want to look at your boobs. I just want to read what the shirt says. So I'm sitting there staring at the shirt because it's all kind of mounded, and then, like, there's the bit under the boob that's hard to read, so you're kind of, like, going like this. And,
so you're checking out the boobs from all angles. I don't want to see boobs, I just want to read your shirt.
And then the girl's just like, why are you creeping out on me like that? And I'm like, I'm not, I'm trying to read your shirt, I'm sorry.
You get creep shamed for shirt reading.
Right, I'm like, I'm just trying, I don't care about your boobs. Your boobs interest me not at all. So
there's another huge thing that
makes... Keep calm and crush on. Fuck you, Candy Crush. All right.
Well, that kind of reminds me of one of these positive reviews that I read on Amazon that says, "This game is very good to keep your brain working, which is good when you have problems doing several things at one time." Is that really supposed to be a good thing? Is it good to focus yourself wholly on just playing Candy Crush and blocking out the rest of the world?
There was... Do you remember... back in the days of the old school Nintendo, like the original Nintendo, Tetris came out for that game, and the whole marketing push behind Tetris was, get Tetrisized, you know, and it showed these kids who were all like, whoa, and I actually got to playing Tetris one day to the point that the entire rest of the world faded out around me until my mom was like, Tycho, hey, whoa, hi, what?
I do love Tetris.
Like, oh, wow, like, how did I get to level 87 so fast? Like, wow.
The experience that people are having with their obsession with Candy Crush reminds me of the way I feel if I'm playing too much Tetris. I did see a thing where someone posted a picture of their shower curtain that I guess had a little design on it that kind of resembled Candy Crush, and said that when she's in the shower, she stares at the shower curtain and mentally plays Candy Crush with it. Or someone wants to go to sleep, but they can't because they just keep seeing Candy Crush in their mind. I can understand that a little Tetris.
That's something that happens no matter what you do. Like, if you play a game a lot and you close your eyes, you'll see, you know, that particular game. It used to happen with me with a game that was much more addictive for me anyway. It was a game called Zuma, which is basically a game that you have this little frog in the middle of the game board, and then this series of colored balls comes rolling out and rolls through this path, and then you have to match colored balls by shooting at the balls to match three colors.
Oh, I think I played that one, Ball Crush Saga. So you got obsessed with it and started playing it. You know,
I played that a lot. You didn't have to pay for anything. You could just go all the way through the game, and you didn't have to pay for anything. There were boss battles. It was just your basic any, and all the levels were different. You weren't doing the same thing all the time. You had power ups that you didn't have to pay for. You know, it was just.
But what did you do if you got frustrated and couldn't pay your way out? What if you couldn't buy a candy hammer?
Oh my god, I had to practice and get better.
No.
Like, you know, anything else in life.
So the obsession is kind of the biggest part of Quail that I wanted to talk about. And that is people's perceived addiction with playing this game. And so... Because you've heard of this, right? There are lots of tweets out yes. there where people feel like they're addicted to Candy Crush. And I came across lots of articles about how to kick your addiction, how to tell if you're addicted. And a lot of them quoted the same guy. They quoted Mark Griffiths, the director of the International Gaming Research Unit at Nottingham Trent University. And he is focused on people addicted to games. And he also talks about it taking up 100% of your cognitive ability. And he says, this is appealing to women. Being a lady...
I was about to say, how do you feel about that, being a woman?
Well, man or lady, I don't really... I guess it's nice for a moment of zen just to focus on one thing instead of multitasking. But I don't see it being a positive thing if you're just focused on one thing and nothing else can break in. I don't think that's a good thing.
I do not understand how you could focus on just one thing in that game, because as I was playing it, I had to turn the volume off because the music was so repetitive and irritating that
it's very
wanted
to
smash my
yes.
iPod. I wanted to smash it to pieces because I hated the music so much.
If you muted it, would that have made the game experience better?
I mean, I turned the volume down, and I mean, it made it more bearable, but I still wasn't... I wasn't focused in on it. Like I never went into that zone where nothing else in the world existed for me. It was just, I'm playing this game, like, how, like, and in the back of, like, I'm always sitting there thinking, how much of this do I have to play so that I'll feel I have a decent amount to talk about?
Well, when you were playing your frog ball game, how old were you?
Oh, this was, I don't know, 6 months ago.
Oh, okay. So you're not above the idea of getting into a game so much that it, that you're able to find that zen place where the rest of the world is muted.
No, because even then, like, I didn't completely zone out and just get into the frog ball games. It's called Zuma, by the way.
Excuse me.
You know, I'd play it, and it would be, you know, and it's fun, and I enjoy it, and like if I was at my old overnight job, I would sit down and play it for, I don't know, 15 or 20 minutes, and then get up and go back to work, and it was a nice little diversion. But I was never. But usually while I was playing it, I was also listening to a podcast or an audiobook or whatever, and, you know, or listening to make sure somebody wasn't going to walk in and see me slacking off. And, you know, so it was all, like, I was never focused in on it to the point of the exclusion of everything else.
So you never got just, to the point where you were playing instead of eating?
Right,
or,
yeah.
Or focused on hygiene or...
yeah, like, no, I don't...
Neglecting your family or whatever. Yeah, blowing family. Off your friends.
No, I don't have any friends.
Oh, well, okay, good.
I have friends. No, it was never like that. It was like I love my friend Rowan. She's my best friend, but she's been playing this online, you know, online role playing game, and like so there's these three scheduled like ultra mega super boss fights that get you like. Extra experience and gold and all that, and like while she is playing that, God help you if you call her, because when you call her phone, it kicks her out of the game, and if it's right in the middle of one of those boss fights, I made that mistake once. Why are you calling me? I'm like, what? Because I wanted to see if you wanted to hang out. Well, I was in the middle of a boss fight. I was like, I didn't know that. She's like, it's every day at 7:30. 7:30 to 8, that's when the boss fight is. I'm like, I don't play the game. I don't know that. Okay. Besides, you play that game 12 hours a day anyway.
Have you played the game that she's playing?
No, I haven't. I have no desire. I have never felt any desire to play any sort of multiplayer, massive multiplayer online role-playing. Mamorpica, that's what I call it.
Mamorpica?
Mamorpica. I got that from the Weekend Justice podcast, which is a podcast everyone should listen to because it's 3 hours long and it's awesome. Never. World of Warcraft? Nope. Final Fantasy 11 or 14? Nope. I love the Final Fantasy games. Because here's what I don't get, okay? Why would you spend money to get the game and then spend money to play the game?
Like, yeah, that doesn't seem fair.
Like, I'm willing to give King a little bit of slack because Candy Crush is a free download.
Right, and this guy that I've been talking about studying the addiction of psychology as it relates to games has a bite about that where he says that it's a bit of the old drug dealing analogy of giving a bit for free and hooking them in. So they offer it for free and then right. get you to pay once you really like it. But
I'll cut them a little bit of slack for that, but not much. You know, like make the whole game free, but make the power ups you have to charge for.
So you're kind of on board with King for that.
I'm not on board to play past level 35.
Right.
I'm not on board with that.
But you're on board with the company's decision to do it.
But if you want to charge for power-ups and, you know, cheats and all that, sure, go ahead. Because that's cheating, and you're not playing the game the way it's meant to be played.
True.
So if you want to pay for that, then go ahead and pay for that. But don't pay to continue playing the game. That's just stupid.
Maybe because the game has, also according to this guy, small, unpredictable rewards that lead to highly engaged, repetitive behavior. And in a minority, this may lead to addiction.
No.
Would you find that Candy Crush did that?
Candy Crush, I would be playing, right? And I'd finish a level, and then there would be like a dozen things that happened before the level actually ended. Did you encounter that at
all? Like where the Swedish fish come flying in and eat the rest of them?
Yeah, like you finish, and then a bunch of fish come in and just randomly knock out a bunch of pieces, which makes all the pieces fall, and then you get a bunch of other pieces that fall, and then a bunch of other pieces fall, and then the guy's, sweet, crush, delicious. And I'm like, why are you saying that? You're not saying that for any reason. I would do one thing, and it would get rid of those three pieces, sweet. And I'm like, what? Or I do something and it go boom, and then do, 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 do.
So did
delicious.
You find...
And I'm like, what are you...
Did you find
why
that...
Why are you doing that?
Did you find that Barry White coming in and telling you you're doing a good job was a reward?
I don't need Barry White to tell me I'm doing a good job. If I finish the level, I know I'm doing a good job.
Mm-hmm. So you don't need to watch your points crank up at an insane level at the end to feel like
I
you've
really
accomplished
don't.
Something.
You know, and I want to know, why did all that stuff at the end happen? Like, stuff, the fish would come in, and then a bunch of stuff would fall, and then, like, nothing would happen, and that would be the end of it, and then all of a sudden, like, six rows would just randomly disappear, and I'm like, and then it'd be like, boom, and then disappear, and then it'd all start over again, and I'm like, why are you doing that? Why, this makes no sense. I want to understand why this is happening.
Maybe don't make just, you feel like you accomplished something?
I didn't accomplish anything, though. It was all just random shit happening.
I found that started happening after you've accomplished the thing that they want you to accomplish in that level. So in level 12, you probably experienced having to get the cherries to the bottom of the screen.
Yeah.
So once you've done that, that's when it goes crazy and your points start racking up and the Swedish fish start flying and stuff starts exploding.
Yeah, and I'm like, just look, if you get the stuff to the bottom, just end the level. And, you know, and if you get some sort of bonus, then just say, hey, here's a bonus. Fish, do-do-do-do-do-do, blah, blah, blah. And that's fine. If you explain why it's happening, but when you're just throwing all this color on there and shit just happens and things disappear and there's never any rhyme or reason to explain, I have a problem with that.
Well, maybe it's like a slot machine where you get three things in a row, the thing starts dinging, lights start going off, some money comes out. It's probably not much, but it's coins and it makes a noise. It's exciting.
Yeah, but see, in a slot machine in a casino, that's not for your benefit. That is for the benefit of everybody else around you playing the slots. You're like, oh, that guy just won. Now it's, you know.
Interesting.
Keep playing.
I didn't think about it that way. So apparently not even celebrities are free from this, because there's a story about Adam Levine using his sleeping fiance's thumb to unlock her iPhone to get more lives. No. You're not going
to
attack
me. What do you want me to say, Brinky?
I don't know. I just want you to promise me not to attack me in my sleep just to get more lives on Candy Crush. That's all.
Yeah, I'm going to fly across four time zones.
Oh, please.
If I'm going to do that, I'll just hire someone to cut your thumb off and mail it to me.
Uh-huh. So now I've got you on record talking about hiring somebody to come attack me. Nice.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Maybe someday I'll want a new co-host.
Mm-hmm. Put that in the police file. Put that in the police report. So the last part of Quail, the fear that this game inspires in people, is the symbolism. Because it's easy, there's brand recognition, and so it's easy to talk about it and kind of stir up people's feelings. So we've been talking about addiction. We've been talking about trademarks. It's easy to write a news story, put Candy Crush in the headline, and think that people are going to read it. And I found lots of articles like this where they were trying to draw in readers by putting Candy Crush in the headline and either not really addressing it in the story or addressing it very lightly. So lots of those stories I found where video game guy that likes to think that it's addictive was talking about that as well as other games. So people will read an article and think, oh my God, I play that. This affects me. And another one I saw that was doing this pretty blatantly was an article about the NSA being able to collect information from apps and the information such as your location, your phone number.
And that's why I don't ever give that information to any of my apps.
Mm. So one of the things that the headline said was...
In fact, it's a case of if my app ever asks for my phone number or information or like access to my Facebook, I'm like, nope.
Nope. So one of the things in the headline was Google Plus and Candy Crush are stalking you, basically. You play this and the NSA is going to be watching you. So it's fear-mongering, using Candy Crush to get people's attention and then freak them out about something that's only tangentially related.
Yeah.
So I think the addiction thing is part of that, talking about lots of different video games, but Candy Crush becomes the face of it. Talking about getting kids hooked on gambling, Candy Crush becomes the face of that.
Which is dumb, because Candy Crush isn't gambling.
Yeah. There was a Huffington Post article about addiction in general, and it did talk about Candy Crush in the headline. It was talking about how to crush your Candy Crush addiction or something. But the article itself was about addictions, small addictions in general, not like heroin, but things like smoking, nail biting, impulse shopping.
Yeah, because smoking is a small addiction.
Okay.
That's a tiny little thing.
I'm sorry. That is a physical addiction more so than impulse shopping. But still, the idea that it's using Candy Crush to bring people in. So... this game,
are they implying Candy Crush is a gateway drug?
Gateway drug to nail biting, and then later to smoking, and then later to heroin. There are people that call it candy crack, or crack crush. The idea being that it's so addictive, it's like being on crack. Do you think that's a little offensive to people that actually do crack? Well, maybe people who do crack
now, wait,
have bigger
on,
problems.
Hold on. Is it offensive? Is it offensive to people comparing Candy Crush to crack? Is it offensive to people who have relatives who are suffering from crack addiction to compare it to Candy Crush? Or is it offensive, or are crack users like, hey man, I do not play Candy Crush.
I got bigger problems here.
Yeah, no. Yeah. Fuck you. Fuck you and your Candy Crush problems, all right? I'm addicted to crack.
So, you've played
I have been swearing a lot in this episode.
It's okay.
I'm sorry, everybody.
I
normally don't swear this much.
That's all right. I enjoy it. I was going to try and lure you into saying the C word by talking about the trademarks and saying, can we avoid the C word for the whole hour?
Which C word is this?
Oh, cunt.
Okay. Yeah, no. I would not say that word at all.
Oh, okay. Well,
I don't think I've ever... No, wait. I've said it once. I think I said it on the IOC podcast, but I was like...
Were you quoting something?
I think we came across it in an ad, and I was like, I don't even like that word. Like, that word just sounds bad, and it doesn't look good as a word. It does not look good, and it sounds bad, and like, I can't even... And like, I actually said it on the podcast, but I said it, and then my voice like dipped down as I said it. Because, like, I don't want to say it.
I think need to release that word's power over you.
Nope.
Come on, just call me a cunt.
Nope.
Because we know me, I'm vulgar and unladylike, and I can't go an hour without saying cunt.
You're being a bitch, Brinky.
Now we have a pull quote. So, you've played this game. Are you addicted?
Nope.
Are you sure?
There were several times yesterday where I was just like, just delete it off your iPod. Just delete it. You're not going to play it anymore. And I'm kind of as soon as we're done recording, I will probably go and delete it off my iPod because...
Or you're going to try and delete it, and you're going to get so into it that I'm never going to hear from you again.
I'm going to put my finger on the little app and wait for it to start shaking, and then I'm going to hit the X, and it's going to say, are you sure you want to delete this? And I will say, yep, and I'll never think of it again.
Or you're going to go down the rabbit hole.
I will not go down the rabbit hole. There will be no rabbit holing.
So, we've talked about releasing something's power over you, specifically the C word. But if you're addicted to other things, such as Candy Crush, that brings us to the last part of, well, the next part of my discussion, which is Quell and overcoming your addiction. And also deciding where and when is a good time to play Candy Crush. So that Huffington Post article that I mentioned about addiction talks about replacing the habit with a new one. They do say that you should play a game that's easier to beat, or play a game that requires real-time interaction with your friends so that they can tell you when to go to sleep. Which I think is hilarious that they want you to play...
So basically they're advocating playing a board game?
Online games can have real-time interactions with friends.
All right, okay.
But I think it's funny that they're requiring someone with a game addiction to A, have friends, and B, have friends who are more responsible than them.
Well, you know, that can help.
Yeah. So if you're going to switch out Candy Crush for something else, what are you switching it out for? Because my choice is Tetris. Anytime.
Tetris, yeah. Okay, first of all, Tetris, which is just awesome.
Which you can find free all the time. Maybe it has the similar small rewards. You see things disappearing. It becomes increasingly harder. You know, you feel like you're accomplishing something. And depending on which version you're playing, I think you can get ones with a deep voice coming in and saying, Tetris! So, that's nice. You know, it's not as good as Sweet.
Yeah, but there's a reason why it says Tetris.
Because you've got a Tetris.
Yeah.
Because you cleared out four lines at once, which is a Tetris. We have a title. How about Angry Birds?
See, I was going to say, for a really long time, I was fairly obsessed with Angry Birds.
Well, you've got two likes on Facebook, and I think one is our podcast, and the other one is Angry Birds.
Yeah, that was because I knew I wanted to unlock those three levels in the Western cowboy themed level. There's like three levels that you have to like them on Facebook to unlock, and I liked them on Facebook. It unlocked the levels, and then I unliked them again, and then apparently it just decided, no, you really do like Angry Birds, and put it back on there. So. Because at that point, those were like the only three. Like at that point, every single other level that was in the game, I had gotten 3 stars on, and I had gotten the Mighty Eagle feather on all the levels, and I had pretty much done everything there was to do in the game except for those 3 levels. And I was like, might as well. All I have, the only cost is a like on Facebook, and the reason I don't like stuff on Facebook is because I don't want unnecessary crap coming up in my newsfeed, which it does anyway, but...
Yeah, you get unnecessary crap from things you didn't even like. Hey, you might like this.
Yeah, and so I don't want to deal with that.
In case you wanted to like this, let's just tell you.
I don't like anything on Facebook. I don't join any groups. You know, I just don't... I don't do any of that.
You're a Facebook recluse. I never knew there was such a thing.
Yeah. Like, for the longest time, I refused to post any pictures on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
For the longest time, I was just like, I'm just here to talk to my friends. I don't want it. I'm not here to show off my life or join or like anything. I'm just here to talk to my friends because this is where all my friends are now.
So instead of Candy Crush, what are you going to play?
Right now, my thing is a game called Flow, which presents to you a board with pairs of colored dots on them, and you have to connect the colored dots through a line. But you can't intersect any other lines, and you have to fill up the whole board.
How difficult is it?
It starts off real easy. It starts off with just like a 5x5 board, but it gets up to 14x14. Like, it's a 5x5 board with like maybe three colored dots. You know, three different pairs of dots. And then it gets up to 14x14, and you can get up to like 14 pairs of colored dots on there. And that gets real hard. So
do you recommend it?
I do recommend it, yeah.
So maybe if someone is trying to overcome their Candy Crush addiction and wants to switch in one game for another, maybe Flow.
Flow, I'd say Angry Birds or Tetris. Yeah, yeah. Either one. It's fine.
So,
'cause Angry Birds has, you know, Angry Birds at least is like, You have different types of birds.
I like that there's characters.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Like different types of birds that have different abilities, different types of pigs with different defenses. And it actually involves a little bit
strategy, but light.
Yeah, a little bit of like strategy where you have to be like, okay, this bird needs to hit right here, and hopefully that'll have this reaction on the building. You know, so You actually have to think about it, whereas in Candy Crush, all you're doing is looking for, okay, where's the one piece I can move that'll give me three in a row?
Right. Yeah, Tetris is also kind of mindless. It requires a little bit of strategy, but not quite as much as the other ones. So you've got some options there. Now, the next step to overcoming your addiction is, this says, making a new mantra. You ask yourself why you do it, and then make a mantra based on that trigger. When I feel like playing Candy Crush, instead I will... What?
Not play Candy Crush?
Instead of playing Candy Crush, I will... I was going to say, go hug somebody, but... ain't nobody for me to go hug. But let's...
I was gonna say snort crack, but... That doesn't.
I took it to a nice, healthy activity. Okay, well, maybe we should combine these things. Instead of playing Candy Crush, I will go snort crack off a hooker's ass. Yeah? Okay, good. So we've gotten that taken care of.
Sure. All right.
Another option.
I mean, yeah, if you're going to be spending money anyway.
How many hookers can you snort crack off the ass of based on how much you've spent in Candy Crush in a year? Yeah, okay. So.
Candy Crush Saga pays for my hookers.
Another option is to track how many days you've gone without and then reward yourself for your success. So I'm thinking maybe to reward yourself, you need to make friends with a person with a deep voice so they can call you and tell you you're doing a good job. What do you think of that?
Just have them follow you around, and every time you do something good, they're like, Crush! Delicious!
You know, instead of playing Candy Crush, you took out the garbage, and then your deep voice friend goes,
Sweet!
Yeah! I like it. We've got a
real sugar rush.
We've got a real system going on here.
That's gonna be like a joke between us, though.
Another option is to focus on your long-term happiness, not your current failures. So, if you go back into playing Candy Crush every now and again, you don't have to beat yourself up. And then also fantasize about how your life will be better once that habit is broken. Fantasize about how much people are going to like you after you start showering regularly again, after you can put down Candy Crush. So I think it's clear that Candy Crush is not appropriate for every situation. You know, when it's good, I would say traveling. If you're on a long road trip or you're on a layover, maybe somewhere where you're waiting, you're at the DMV or
at a funeral.
You're at a funeral
while you're getting married.
And yeah, okay. Or at the dentist's office, which I almost played at the dentist's office today. Where and when not to play. Basically, any time you're supposed to be somewhere or do something. Because there are lots of stories that crop up about people who forget to pick up their kids. They forget to go to work. They're cooking and their dinner gets burned because they really wanted to level up.
There have been times that I have legitimately forgotten to pick up Rowan's kid from school. Not because I was playing any games, but because I got home from work and I was tired and just overslept.
That's not really something you had a choice over. I mean, if...
Like I set my alarm and my alarm went off and I woke up and I turned my alarm off. And the next thing I know, Rowan's calling saying, Hey, are you planning to pick up my kid today? Oh,
well,
yeah, I guess I can go do that.
I think we're all bad people sometimes, but it doesn't have to be Candy Crush related, right?
And you know what? The way I look at it is my mom, who, as much as, you know, like, I will occasionally deride my parents because sometimes they just bug the crap out of me, but that's a parent's job. She's an awesome mom, and I love her, and I would not want to trade my mom for any other mom out there at all, ever. But there have been times where, like, I remember a time in, I was in, like, third or fourth grade, we would all, like, all of the kids in school would come out into the lobby of the school, and then, like, one class would be down this hallway, and one class would be down this hallway, and then as the parents would come to pick them up, they'd be like, oh, so, you know, Brian, your mom's here, Jenny, your mom's here, Lisa, your mom's here, you know. And then there was one time everybody left and I was just there alone for like where is my mom? And it was raining outside, and I was like, and I was like, oh no, my mom is a, you know, so it's like.
Well, what happened to her? Don't leave me hanging.
Well, she came and picked us up. She was just late.
Oh.
That's all there was to it. And I was like, you know, and
she
so
overslept.
I look at that and I'll say, my mom, who is a much better parent than I will ever be, was late picking me up. So I'm okay to be late picking Callie up a couple times. So.
My dad dropped me off at the wrong school one time. Me and my brother. It was our first day at a new school, and instead of dropping us off at the elementary school, he dropped us off at the high school. And I just have this memory of us sitting in the office just waiting for my dad to come and get us again. I don't know how they got a hold of him, because we had just moved. It was our first day at a new school. We wouldn't have had a phone number memorized by then, I'm sure, and nobody had cell phones at the time. So, yeah. Quite sad.
Well, they could have just contacted the elementary school to get your contact information and
probably
that number.
Yeah, it got resolved. I'm not still there, so somehow we figured it out. So there is a time and a place to play Candy Crush, but one.
I always thought the background of your house looked kind of schoolhousey.
Right, and you notice my brother is here all the time because he can't figure out how to leave either. So there is a time and a place to play Candy Crush.
Oh,
but
good lord,
one
you have
that
kids.
Oh my god, it's flowers.
What have you been doing in that school?
It's flowers in the attic. Oh my god. Oh.
As Mabim Bam would say, you have a smoochatorium.
Oh, things took a weird turn. All I wanted to do was ask you if you should play Candy Crush if you can't sleep. If you're
No.
I mean, if you have a touch of the old insomnia, is it appropriate to play Candy Crush?
If I have so many other games I would rather play. I have spent we're recording this just as Georgia is starting to come out of the snowmageddon that wrecked the entire world.
You've been snowed in for 2 days.
I have been snowed in for 2 days.
Weathered in. I don't know how much snow there is, but yeah, definitely weathered
in. Oh, there's a whole like 2 or 3 inches.
Because I wanted us to each bring our favorite candy and eat it on the podcast. But first of all, eating on mic is disgusting. But also, you can't leave the house. Mm-hmm. Oh. Ugh.
I used to work. Oh man, let me tell you this story. I used to work with a guy at the overnight job who didn't have a car. So somebody had to bring him from the first place we cleaned to the second place we cleaned, and also bring him home. And when I say somebody, I use it in the same term that my parents and grandparents used to use on Christmas morning when they would say, "Wow, somebody needs to clean up all this wrapping paper." Tycho, didn't you hear me say to clean up all the wrapping paper? So it would always end up being me. And we'd stop and we'd get something to eat as we're driving from one place to another. And he would always buy, like, the most pungently aromed gas station food that is possible to find. And then eat it in the car. And
if it's cold like
out,
roller taquitos or what?
Yeah, stuff like that. You know, and if it's cold out, you have to have the windows up so you can't get away from the smell. But then he would also chew with his mouth open.
Mm.
So for the 4 or 5 years that we worked together, that I was driving him, you know, to his, you know, from one place to the other, the soundtrack to the drive was.
Oh. That's not even specifically my pet peeve ever, but it gets to be a little much sometimes. That is my ex-husband's pet peeve. He hates the sound of things in people's mouths in general. So he tells me of a scene in Lord of the Rings where there's someone eating very loudly. He would come into the bathroom while I was flossing and then get mad at me for the sound of flossing. Things like that. So.
How did we get on to that? What was...
Oh, I was asking you if you had insomnia, if you would play Candy Crush.
No, because there are so many other games that I would rather play. Like, here, right, because we were talking about being snowed in. And I've been in the house for the last 2 days, and I have pretty much spent those entire 2 days playing Tales of Zelia.
Tell us about this game. Just give us a quick rundown.
It's a Japanese, it's a JRPG, which is different from a regular RPG.
Is it online or is it?
No, it's on the PlayStation 3.
Okay, so you're not playing with other people necessarily.
No, mm-hmm. No, this is a play by yourself game. And I love the Tales games. Tales of Symphonia is probably my favorite video game of all time. I have played that game straight through. I've played that game from beginning to end maybe 25 times, and it takes you about 40 hours to go all the way through. If you're just doing a bare bones run through, it takes about 40 hours. I've played Tales of Symphonia 2, Tales of the Abyss, and I'm working on Tales of Xelia right now. And it is, if I'm in an insomniac phase, yeah, I'll just go do that. Or if I don't want to get out of bed and go downstairs, I'll grab my iPod and play a couple rounds of Flow. Or there was another game I was obsessed with for another game I played for a little while, Zuma. You know, I play Zuma.
But does it make your insomnia worse to get up and play a game and then maybe get into it?
You're engaging your brain and you're waking. You're not making yourself tired. Hmm. You know, so I'd sit there and I'd play it just because I couldn't sleep, and I'd be like, "Well, this is stupid. Why am I doing this?"
Because and then go back to sleep.
Yeah, it's just waking me up more. Just try to go back to sleep.
So we talked about Crush, Quail, and Quell, and that brings us to Conclude. And so I found another Shakespeare quote that I wanted to read, and this is from Venus and Adonis. She's love, she loves, and yet she is not loved. Fie, fie, he says, you crush me, let me go. You have no reason to withhold me so. So I think that's our conclusion, too. Women love Candy Crush, but it does not love you back. It's crushing you, let it go.
It only wants stuff from you and doesn't give you anything back.
It has no reason to withhold you so. Yeah. So, what's your conclusion about Candy Crush?
Screw it.
Do you think the company is evil, or you think they're just doing what a company does, make some money?
Look, if people are stupid enough to pay for it, and they're, fine.
Exactly.
Like, I'm not above taking advantage. I don't want to make myself sound like a con man or like I'm lying or cheating other people, but if I give somebody an offer, like if somebody calls up the to-go station at work and I give them one of the specials that we've got, which is actually like something you don't need at all, like, hey, would you like to add on a dessert to that? It's only this much. You don't need that dessert. You're not calling up. You had no intention of getting a dessert, but I'm offering it to you anyway. I'm tempting you to it. And if you're silly enough to go for it when you don't need it or want it, then you know what? That's on you. So if you're playing Candy Crush and you get up to level 35 and you're like, oh my God, I totally want to keep playing. And you buy like the ability to keep playing, and then you buy cheats, and then you buy, Candy Crush shirts and shower curtains and slippers and whatever the hell else they
heroin
sell.
Heroin needles.
Yeah, heroin needles. Like, that's on you, dog. I have no sympathy for you, and I do not feel that, that's your own stupid mistake. I will not be spending any money on it.
Probably never playing it again.
Yeah.
And like I probably won't either. I'll play some Tetris.
I'm going to delete it. I'm going to delete it, and I'm not going to worry about it.
I'm not much of a gamer, but if I'm going to pick up something, it'll be Tetris. It won't be this. So
yeah. Tetris. Yeah. Play Tetris.
So our topic this week was suggested by a listener. Since there's only about 15 to 16 of you out there at any given time, I think we can go ahead and say it was my darling brother who suggested it. So if any of our listeners want to suggest a topic to us, Tycho, where should they go?
loneholdout@redcowentertainment.com.
You could email us there. You could also tweet at us.
Yes, you could also tweet.
Which is loan, capitalized. Holdout, also capitalized. And what should they do if they really like us and they're really happy that we tried out their favorite game? If they can even put down the damn tablet for a second and stop playing Candy Crush to show their appreciation for us, what should they do?
They should rate us and review us on iTunes.
And? Like us on Facebook.
Oh, yeah.
Unless they're one of the, they've probably already become one of the 60 million people to like Candy Crush. They could also just throw us a bone, throw us a candy, throw us a lozenge, and like us on Facebook.
Wow, that was reaching there, Brinky.
What, isn't that what the orange ones are? They're lozenges, right?
I don't know.
Uh-huh.
Or are they?
Sure.
Okay.
So join us next week when we'll be trying out P90X.
Are we really?
Do you want to?
No.
Okay, join us next week when we discuss the entire series of Game of Thrones.
No.
Nope. Okay, join us next week when we find out what the fox is.
Nope.
Still no? Well, all right. Join us next week when we...
figure out what it is at some point in the meantime.
When we talk about something awful for your amusement. Tycho.
Good night, everybody.
Don't cook naked.
Don't cook naked.
Good night. Do you think Anne Frank would have been a believer?
We're not even discussing this.
No? Okay. Well,
because fuck Justin Bieber.
Okay. Right. Well, back to Candy Crush.